This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome. So every Friday here on out, we'll have guests coming in from DPS 61. And I want to thank Denise and the crew for arranging that. Apologize again to these two folks. We had a snafu last week on my end of not reading a full email. And there's your lesson learned, right? But we rescheduled them, and Dr. Rochelle Clark and Jeff Days in the studios with us here this morning. They have a full week of classes and students back?
Absolutely.
All right. How did it go first week?
Well, for me, it was amazing. So we're in the schools. We're looking at how teachers are working with students, getting student buy-in, and actually asking students the primary question, what do you need from me to be successful?
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. So this is, you know, really, I think the first week of real normal, right, in a couple of years. I saw the COVID numbers from the Macon County Health Department yesterday, pretty good. You know, numbers are down and trending in the right way. You still got to be cautious and take all the precautions, but it has to feel just nice and normal to have everybody back in a classroom and not worrying about having to close down a school every 2 weeks.
Absolutely. I actually just tore up all of my papers from last year from all the schools and classrooms we had to close.
Yeah. All right. Well, so this is not, this time has been a little contentious the last couple of months, this whole school conversation. Where are we with that presently? I know that's a board, you know, decision level, but, you know, I'd heard Oak Grove and maybe a changing of a tactic there. Anything new?
Nothing new right now, but I can tell you to stay tuned because you might have some interesting news on Tuesday.
On Tuesday of next week. Okay. School board meeting?
Yes.
Okay. We'll look forward to that. All right. So a weekend, what have you learned from those students as you're asking them, what do they need to help them? What are you hearing?
Basically what they want. So, you know, we're excited and the teachers are talking the talk of we're back after the pandemic. So, you know, we all want growth and achievement in our schools, but it means nothing until we get the students involved. So we've been hearing a lot of their voices this week, a lot of excitement from the teachers. So it's just great to be back. And as you said, not having to come back with all of the COVID protocols, and we feel the difference.
Yeah,
definitely feel the difference.
And you know, I'm assuming kids, you know, are still dealing with the consequences of that, right? I mean, you know, our guy graduated last year, but you know, he missed his entire junior year of high school, you know, in person, and then had sort of a hybrid after that, and then finally got some normalcy right before graduation. But you know, freshmen, you know, they're doing that. They're coming back. They've missed some stuff, right? Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody has missed something. So, you know, going back doing. Just meeting them where they are and their needs and where they come in at. But this is where we're at. You know, we got a report from the state yesterday that even the state has, you know, many schools have taken a decline. So this is where we're at. This is the not normalcy, but this is the new normalcy after the pandemic. So, hey, we come out of it after the storm, but we feel confident.
Okay, you guys, you know, and all of administration, you know, whether it's principals in schools or teachers in the classroom or the Kyle building, education to me, public education, seems like it's doing a turnaround in some areas. It's really good as far as not just, you know, pointing kids towards career paths, getting them, you know, what Dr. Morris is doing with, you know, it was amazing to me. We're standing out at Richland a couple of weeks ago, and it dawns on me that 8 of these 10 kids that are getting a CNA certificate are still in high school. I mean, you know, they're such a huge advantage and step before they even graduate from high school. But in some ways, it's still about test scores and testing. And I know you have to have metrics, and I know you have to have a definition of success. But man, there's a fine line between really teaching a kid and then just trying to get a kid to score something on a point thing so you can say we're successful. Right. Is that still a struggle?
It is a struggle, but this is what I love about Mr. Days. We do talk about the test scores because the state says, you know, you need to be at a certain benchmark. But what he does is he looks at the overall progress. So whatever we started with last year, he's able to say, this is what we did moving forward, and this is how we should be celebrating.
Yeah, but there's also, you know, I know there was a controversial story about, you know, and picked on District 61, I felt, a lot, because I don't think what you're doing is any different than any other large school district in the United States of America. But if you just look at those numbers, it's easy to see why people think it's such a dismal failure, right? Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's why you have to, you know, celebrate your successes within the district. You know, you have low performing classrooms, schools, districts, but within there, that doesn't define the entire district. We have some great things going on within Decatur, and you know, you got to stay hopeful. So, which is some of the excitement that we have about the initiatives of just setting the climate, because we have everything that we need as far as with teaching and learning, and now getting our environment together and getting the students involved in that. So, yeah, our numbers are.
But why horrible. Has the country, you know, because it's not an individual district problem. It's across. I mean, you can look at these demographics across the United States of America, reading skills, math skills. You know, why do we continually score so low?
Yeah, some of it is, you know, I would say the design of the activity, exposing them to what they're actually assessed on the assessments, and actually, federal governments and state need to look at the assessments that they're actually offering to our students. You know, everyone, you think about the nation, we come from different cultures, different climates, but we're given standardized assessments that are national. So some are just not exposed to the content.
No, I get all that. And I think you got the old way of thinking, you know, I think what COVID taught us, you know, in a lot of areas, I think more so in education and healthcare, maybe than any other, you know, that it's got to change.
Yes.
This old system doesn't work.
Yes.
But there will be people that argue, and I guess it's a fair argument. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. You know, math is a, you know, it's not a thing. I mean, there is an answer to those equations, right? And we've just got to get these kids better prepared in life. We went through District 61, you know, K-12, and had a great experience.
Right.
You know, so you're right. It's not just one universal thing. Everybody comes to it. But, you know, our guy also had a supportive family that was there and helped pull the backup and had the technology at home to withstand COVID and everything else. That doesn't mean everybody else's story is the same.
Right.
You got more than 8,000 kids. You got 8,000 plus different stories. And it's really hard. It's not the same as a smaller private school district or something else. Mm-hmm. It just isn't. So how do we change that? You know, how do you fight that system? Not only the federal government, the state government, your own board of education. I mean, you get a turnover there, 4 people, majority every 4 years. You know, that changes. The direction changes. You get new superintendents come in. They want to go this way. Then another superintendent comes in and want to go that way. How do you maintain all that?
Yeah, that's difficult. Go ahead.
You got to get to know your students. Like you just touched upon, you know, think outside the box. I'm saying now we need to burn the box.
Yeah.
No, this is.
You won't get any disagreement with me about being. We have to do what we learned. What COVID acted as an accelerator, meaning that what would have taken 10 years to happen has overnight happens. You know, higher ed, you know, parents saw, well, why am I paying $40,000 a year when my kid can do this on a laptop from home? Everybody's got to rethink the way, you know, they're doing everything. But those systems, those bureaucracies seem so hard to fight. And in public education, you know, you've got federal mandates, you've got state mandates, you got funding issues, you got unions, you've got school boards, you've got changing, you know, personnel, you got a lot of teachers retiring and not as many in the funnel, you know, coming in. It almost seems like when you think about it in totality, like an insurmountable, you know, wall. I guess you break it down one at a time and just do the work.
Yeah, that's what that teamwork comes in. You know, everybody has to collaborate and say, hey, what are we doing that's best for our students and the ones that we have in front of us? And then we take that to a city, state, and federal level.
All right. So any news on the vacant seat? I don't know if it's actually vacant yet. I think Dan steps down at the end of the month. Is that right?
On the 23rd, he steps down.
Okay.
We've asked for anyone that is interested to make sure they turn in their resumes by noon today. Last I checked, I think we had like 2.
You know, I that's surprising and yet not surprising to me in the climate that we live in today, and what public servants or people who volunteer their time to be elected officials go through, and the amount of vitriol that gets thrown their way. It's hard for me to believe that we live in this community of this size and only two people have expressed interest in steering the largest school district we have in this community towards success.
Yes, absolutely.
A sad statement. Until noon today, is there a possibility that might be extended? I know that, once again, that's a board decision. Yeah, but
it is their decision. But, I mean, if I was on the board, I would be extending it.
Yeah, I think so. Not knowing the two who applied. That's sad. That is just sad. All right. So we might get some news next week on, whether or not we still may have a new school in the equation.
That's correct.
All right. You've been around this for a while. The opportunity to build a new school on money that's already been spent by the taxpayers, meaning if we don't spend it, someone's going to. It's going to go back. It's going to, you know, the taxpayers aren't getting a refund. It's not going back to their wallet. Illinois is a donor state, meaning for every dollar we send to Washington, D.C., we don't get a full dollar back. This kind of opportunity to be able to spend $30, $33, $34 million and build a new school doesn't happen very often.
Once in a lifetime.
I mean, to refurbish the high schools, we went through that whole process. You know, that was a referendum. You had to get buy-in from the entire county. And to the county's credit, they bought into it and they voted for it. But this is a rare occasion.
Very rare. And like I said, this is something that's probably only going to happen once in our lifetime. And our kids deserve this.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I think people have either they haven't been in a district school for years because they went to dentist school 40 years ago and they have their memories of it. But, you know, it's not even ADA accessible. I mean, you know, I remember when we were boards in the old Eisenhower High School as part of the foundation, and one side of the hall had to turn their lights off and you know, so that the other side of the hall could have the electricity. I mean, people don't believe that, but that is the condition of some of these schools.
Absolutely.
And how do you bring 2022 technology into that?
And how do you expect kids to learn from something like that?
All right. So what's next for the school year? I know you're only a week in. You get your student bodies set up. I know you guys have. Do you do the superintendent, whatever it's called, with the students from all the schools that come and meet with you?
What I'm trying to do now is figure out how to do that. So what I want to do is go into the schools and talk with everybody, not just the staff, but the students, the custodians, secretaries, everybody. So one of the things that we are planning on doing as a DLT team is just making our presence known. How's everything going? What do you need from us and how can we assist?
That's interesting. So over the years, it's funny because superintendents have different personalities and relationships. And I have heard from teachers, they're never in our school. And then I've heard from teachers, they're in our school too much. It's like, is there a balance between those two things?
I think it's more of like an understanding, because a lot of times people feel like you're there as a gotcha.
Yeah.
And we want them to know we're a resource.
Yeah, you don't want to, like, there to be a code that goes out, right?
Right.
When you pull up into the parking lot. But yet, you got so many, right? How do you, what's your philosophy on that? I mean, there's a lot of schools, a lot of principals, a lot of kids. You know, how do you stay connected to all of that?
Use my team.
Yeah.
That's the key. We have to work together as a team.
All right, guys, we appreciate it. One weekend. And keep us posted. We look forward to the next several Fridays. Denise and I are meeting next week. Love to get like your principals in here and, you know, tell your school stories, because I really do feel part of the problem in Macon County is it's an older population that doesn't necessarily have a connection to the schools anymore because their kids have graduated or they're all out. And bringing those stories to them, I think, helps tell your story.
Right.
All right, guys, we appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.